Hello, welcome to the Lean on Plants podcast. My name is Chelsea, and if you are struggling to lose weight on a plant-based diet, then this podcast is for you. While there are thousands of books, podcasts, and resources about the benefits of a plant-based diet, the reality is that being vegan does not guarantee losing weight. If you are feeling frustrated and confused about where to start, or you know exactly what you should be doing, but you just can't seem to rustle up enough willpower to do it, then keep listening. In this podcast, you'll learn the truth about plant-based weight loss, but just as importantly, how to use proven methods of behavioral change to turn what you know into lifelong habits that lead to getting and staying lean. Can't wait to get started. Let's do this. Hello and welcome to the podcast. I just want to acknowledge the fact that you're here listening to a podcast about how to improve your behavior and your habits, whether that's around food, weight loss, gymming, fitness, whatever it is. I just want to say I'm proud of you because you could be doing anything right now. You could be listening to Post Malone. You could be listening to some kind of gossip podcast. You could be doing whoever the heck knows what, but you're here with me and I do not take that attention lightly. And I do not take it lightly that you want to improve your behavior, that you want to become a badass, that you want to become the hero of your story. And that's worth celebrating. So before we get started on this, I want you to pause this episode, give yourself a pat on the back, celebrate a win. We all know, well, if you're not new to Lean with Plants podcast, you know that's an important part of building a habit, is acknowledging that you are amazing for being here. And I'm proud of you. All right, now that that's out of the way, let's talk about building unshakable routines and habits. And I thought about ways of sexing up this episode, and spoiler alert, I didn't really come up with anything. But it's super important because our routines are determining who we will be tomorrow. Our routines are really just those consistent actions and habits that we do on a weekly and daily basis that are going to lead us to who we will be. And whether we have positive or we have negative in terms of helpful or harmful routines, we all have them. We all have behaviors that are consistent, that we've put on autopilot. And where we are right now, whoever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever state that you're in right now, your routines have massively contributed to that. Let that sink in for a moment. Your routines have led to where you are today. And as much as you can control, and we can control a lot, right? Because we're the heroes of our stories. We're empowered people when we choose not to be victims. We have a power perspective. If you want to learn more about that, go listen to the last episode. So if you're looking at your life currently and you're like, you know what, I don't want to be in this position a year from now or 15 years from now, when you bring that out over a wider timeline, then you're going to have to create different routines, because our routines are things that they're so consistent and that we do them so often that the behaviors that become really just the bedrock of our lives, they become who we are in essence. And so we have to just really create routines and habits around who we want to be. And once we do that, no matter what happens, no matter the circumstances or the peripheral around that, as long as we do them consistently enough and do them for the long haul, then even if we don't see the fruits of those labors on a daily basis, at some point they pay off, because they can't help but not to. So that's why they're super powerful. Think about it this way. If you were to consistently go to the gym and work out for an hour three times a week, so just literally three times a week you work out for an hour, 3 hours of your week, it is unreasonable to think that 10 years from now, if you had continued on with that habit, you would not have some kind of phenomenal result, or at least be hundreds of times better off than if you had not done that habit. And the reason I've been thinking about this more is my mindset has shifted so much over the last couple of years from being, what is the result that I get from a certain action, to being, what are the kind of behaviors and the kind of routines that someone that I want to be like has in their life? What are those things that they do consistently? Because we're very obsessed with results and outcomes. We always want to know what is the hack that allows us to get somewhere. But most of the time, those hacks and being results focused doesn't allow us to actually become that that person who is going to either get to that goal or maintain it for the long haul, because we kind of short circuit that process of building things that we can maintain. Anyone can lose weight over a 6-week period. A lot of people can white knuckle a diet, no matter how difficult it is, for a couple of months. I have done that at times in my life. I don't know if I would be able to do that now. I mean, I definitely could, but it would be certainly harder knowing that I don't need to do that. But most of us have done that. Most of us have done that dieting thing for a very long period of time. But the real question is, did we build habits? Did we build routines that were consistent? And I'm going to guess that if you're here listening to this podcast, you probably didn't. So routines are less about the goal and they're more about the becoming. They're more about who we want to be, what actions and behaviors are going to increase our likelihood of success over a much, much longer timeline. Because like I said, we are becoming someone. We will be somebody 10 years from now. Like, that's inevitable. The passage of time and our behavior is going to accumulate to us being something different or very similar to who we are today. So rather than fixating on a result, we really need to figure out, well, what is the behaviors that is going to lead me towards being that kind of person? And ultimately, that's what our routines do. So what is a routine? A routine, in terms of how I see it, is it's an if this, then that process. And when you look at software, what happens when you click a button? You have some kind of predictable response. If you were to pick up your phone right now, if you've got Face ID on your phone, when your phone detects your face, it opens it. It doesn't start playing music. It doesn't give you a list of your favorite restaurants that you've been to recently. It doesn't open maps. There is a consistent action associated with a consistent trigger. It's like going through the McDonald's drive-thru. If you ask for a Big Mac, you're going to get a consistent Big Mac. You're not going to somehow get a milkshake. You're not going to somehow get redirected down to Burger King. This is probably not the right kind of thing to be saying to vegans. But it's an if this, then that response. You have some kind of action that triggers some kind of consistent response. That's essentially what a routine is. And the way that routines, I would say, differ to habits, they're still very much the same kind of thing, but they're more around the days or the times or the weekly process. Kind of the weekly daily cadence of our lives is the trigger that induces some kind of response. And so when we think about routine, our most solid routines are always going to be 100% consistent when some kind of trigger happens, because that's what's allowed us to put them on autopilot. That's what's allowed them to become routines. There's a lot of consistency there, like pretty much 100%. So when we think about how routines actually work and building solid routines, we need to think about there being a trigger and some kind of response. Because if we don't have that extremely high level of consistency, then we don't really actually have a routine. If you only brush your teeth 2 times out of the week and it's not consistent when you do that, then you don't actually have a consistent teeth brushing routine. If you only get out of bed and go to work when you feel like it, you don't have a consistent work routine. You really just do what you want to do. So take a moment to think about what are the consistent routines that you currently have in your life. And there will be many, many of them. It could be as simple as brushing your teeth. It could be that you eat breakfast every single day. It could be that you make the bed when you get out of it. It could be that you put on a bra and clothes when you get out of bed. Like, that's one for me. I pretty much always get dressed. Well, I do. I 100% of the time I get dressed at some point during the day, normally in the morning when I wake up. I drink my coffee. Nick and I get our kids ready for school when it's a school day. See how there's an if this, then that statement involved in that? If it is a school day, then we get our kids ready by 9 a.m. so that they can actually get to school on time. There's so much consistency associated with that. It's not like we get up Sundays, you know what? I don't really want our kids to go to school today. I don't feel like taking them to school. I don't feel like getting there on time. Like, maybe we'll get there at 10 a.m. instead of 9 a.m. No, there's 100% consistency involved in that. There's a 100% follow through on what the routine is meant to be, because that's essentially what routine is. So when we think about building new routines, we need to think about them differently, because a lot of people think about routines in that they're going to try and do some kind of behavior, and they're going to try and do it some of the time, and then they're going to get demotivated and they're going to stop doing that behavior, or they're going to ask themselves, well, you know what, am I too tired to do this, or is it going to be too hard, or maybe I don't need to do it all the time, when that's not how we build this trigger and then response process, which is what a routine actually is. So as crazy as it sounds, and I'm going to show you why this is easy in practice to actually do, but as crazy as it sounds to have something that you do 100% consistently, that's the way that we need to think about routines. And I really want you to understand that if we don't treat the routines that we are trying to build like we would brushing our teeth or going to bed every night, something that just consistently happens, or getting to a doctor's appointment, then we will have other things that come up and stop us building those things. That we will have demotivation, stress, other priorities that come up, other things that are going to mean that we consistently struggle to actually build routine into our life. So that is the most important thing that we think about when we're looking at the routines that we build. We're looking for 100% consistency. Now, this is where it gets really important. We must have consistent triggers. We must have things that are the button that we press, the cue in essence. And so those are things like getting up. When I get up, I will brush my teeth. When I get up, I will get dressed. When I get up, I will make the bed. When I get into my car, I will put on my seatbelt. When it is a school day, I will get my kids ready for bed. When it is When it is a work day, I will get up in time and I will get ready for work and I will get in the car and get to work on time. So there's some kind of consistent cue and trigger associated with that. It's normally to do with a time frame, or it is to do with a certain kind of day. If you think about the fact that kids don't go to school in school holidays, they don't go to school on the weekends, there's some kind of consistent set routine involved in that trigger. And where a lot of people muck up with trying to create routines is that they'll build consistency in terms of the triggers, but then they don't build consistency in terms of being able to follow through on a particular action. So they'll say things like, well, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to the gym every morning. But what if your kid gets sick in the night and you can't do that? And you have to stay home and do something to do with them, help them out, whatever. What if you set a routine where you're going to run every day? What if it's raining? What if you hurt yourself? What if something else comes up? Anytime that we create some kind of, or we try to create some kind of routine, it's vitally important that we have the ability to 100% follow through every single time. And this is where, if we don't do this, it's going to lead to so much frustration, and it's going to lead to us feeling like a failure, because we consistently set the trigger and then we don't allow ourselves to have an environment where we actually can follow through. A big part of consistently being able to follow through is building routines that are going to work for your lifestyle. If we look at the sequence of events that we do things in, which is a big part of creating that consistency, we have to do something that it logically makes sense for us. And we get caught up because we'll look at people on social media and we see the sequence of events that they do things or their triggers, and it simply doesn't work for our lifestyle. And then because we think, well, their trigger is correct, their process is the right way of doing things, they're getting the results, it doesn't allow us to be creative and think, well, how could I make that work for my unique situation? Here's an example of what that looks like for me. I have tried so many times to get up in the morning and work out before my day starts. And I consistently, when I'm doing that, hate it. And I find it very hard to have a productive rest of my day because I'm tired and I'm always struggling to actually get up early. And what I've come to peace with in the last few years is I don't like getting up early. I'm okay not being a morning person. And even though when I see YouTube thumbnails that say my 5 a.m. morning routine, or I see reels where people are promoting getting up super early, even though I see that and it kind of gives a little twinge of, well, you know, maybe I'm not good enough, I have to do something that works for my lifestyle. So for me, getting up super early does not. It really doesn't help me. I have more time during the day, so I actually enjoy going and working out. Well, I found that it's much more helpful for me to work out from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m., which is when the time between when my husband and I, if we go and work out on the days that we do, we will leave at about 1:45, and then we will both go and pick up our kids together at 3 because they finish at 3. So there's consistency there in terms of when it happens, and then there's also consistency in my ability to follow through. Because if my kids are away, if it is not the school holidays, then I have the ability, unless something else is out of the blue, like crazy that I have to deal with, I always have the ability to follow through on that. It actually works with my routine, it works with my lifestyle, and it's something that I can maintain doing. Another example with sequencing is we've always been told to eat the frog, which is essentially do the most difficult things first. And so when I would get into my workday and I'd get into my office, coffee in hand, ready to start my day. And because I'm in a different time zone to the rest of my team, there's always fires to fight. Not only are there fires to fight, if I want to delegate something to someone or if I want to have a conversation about a task that needs to be done, it must happen in my morning because their workday, the American workday, finishes by the time that I get to 10 or 11 o'clock. So I had this constant battle for many, many years, and it's crazy how long it took me to realize that the simple solution was to not try or put the pressure on myself to do the quote most important thing first, but to actually set some time aside where at least the first half an hour of my day is actually fighting fires. It is actually communicating with my team, and that allows me to have the headspace and the time and the focus to do my really important work, which is things like the podcast, creating content, looking at more like long-term strategy for the business and how to help our clients. And when I was trying to do that important work first thing in the morning, I was constantly feeling terrible because I didn't really have the ability to follow through on that. I mean, I could have white knuckled it. I could have really forced that to happen. But when I open my phone or I open my computer and I see a million messages that are important for the other people on my team to get on with my day, then me just trying to ignore that, it wasn't actually conducive. So even though, here's the thing that's really important, even though traditional productivity gurus, or traditionally with productivity, you would say, yeah, that makes so much sense. Do the most important tasks first. Schedule them in first. Because of my somewhat unique situation with having people in a different time zone, I did not find that helpful. And so allowing myself the freedom to sequence that differently means that I'm actually able to follow through. The final thing that we need to understand about routines is that they are identity based. And so we have routines, and we will continue to have routines that are centered in who we believe that we are, and they will be strengthened. Who we believe we are is strengthened by the routines that we have. So if you believe that you are a gym junkie or a gym girl, mummy, what is it called? Muscle mummy. I said that to Nick the other day. He's like, what? That sounds crazy. But if you know, you know. If you have that identity, then you will do things that strengthen that. And it's the difference between someone being asked, hey, do you want to smoke? And they say, no, I'm trying to quit, versus saying, no, I'm not a smoker. The actual person and the behavior could be 100% the same. But one person has had an identity shift, or is attempting to shift their identity, therefore their behavior, by saying, no, I'm not a smoker. Therefore, it would be very illogical for me to try and take a cigarette and accept that, versus the other person who still believes that they are a smoker, but they're trying to change that. It's a very subtle shift, but James Clear talks about this in his book, Atomic Habits. And what we've seen this time and time again, that identity really is the driver of almost all our behavior. And so this is why it's super important to analyze and to think, well, what kind of behavior do I want to have? Or what kind of identity am I trying to build? And then strengthen that through teeny tiny habits. Because ultimately, we are the sum of what we do consistently, or who we believe that we are, who we are. We're this, the sum of millions of tiny actions, whether we see ourselves as a victim or a victor. That is going to be evidenced by our actions. So who we are is evidenced by what we do. So part of this is reframing. Part of this is how you talk about that to yourself. So instead of saying, like, I'm on a diet, I can't have that, I'm not allowed, I choose not to because I'm a healthy person. This is something that you can do right now. Rather than saying, you know, I can't be organized, I'm always late, I'm a hot mess. I am organized. I will be on time because that's part of who I am. This is why every year inside of Lean with Plants, we do a January identity challenge. And this is really deciding, well, who do I want to be? What is the kind of person that I want to be? And then we create tiny actions and habits that build evidence towards that person. And I've got another episode all about identity and how that affects our behavior, which I'll link in the description. Because if this is something that you're interested in and you're finding, you know what, I'm not following through on behavior because that's not really who I believe that I am, then go give that a listen. It's very evidence-based. It's not airy-fairy. It's not about believing something and making that happen. It's really just about understanding that we choose how we talk to ourselves. We choose whether it makes sense for us to follow through on behavior or not. Here's another example of that, just to kind of illustrate the power of it. If you are someone who prioritizes their health, then it would make sense for you to invest in those kind of things because that's what people like that do. It makes sense for you to have an accountability coach. It makes sense for you, if you're a runner, to invest in running shoes and maybe even running glasses and to sign up for half marathons. Those are the kind of behaviors that a runner would do. If you're not a runner and if you're just trying to run, then none of those things actually make sense. So the difference is really choosing to reframe how you see yourself or how you see who you are becoming today, regardless of whether you have that result yet or not, and then having your actions confirm that. I mean, likewise, if you are someone who says, you know what, I'm a foodie, or I'm someone who your identity is centered around going out and getting dinner with your spouse, or going and having a few wines, or having some drinks with the girls. If it is around going and making cupcakes for your family, and that you have an identity surrounding that and how you bring love to your family through food. If that is part of your identity and that is something that you see as part of who you are, I'm just a foodie, I'm someone like that, then it is contrary to that identity to say, well, I'm not going to cook in that way. I'm not going to do foodie things. If you see yourself as a foodie, like, you can shift that perspective. You can shift what the definition of those things mean. That's like, this is the coolest thing about changing identity-based behavior and building routines around that, is that we get to decide and create the rules around, I want to have this identity because this identity serves me, and I'm going to decide what those things are. So for me, I've decided that I'm a gym girl. Like, I'm a muscle mummy. I'm saying like that to myself. I know it sounds kind of funny. I'm someone who goes and works out. And so I'm creating, the way that I win in that is not whether I have big muscles or not whether I can lift heavy things, not whether I've gone to the gym a million times. Is really every single time I go, that identity is confirmed, regardless of whether I have a great workout or not. I'm confirming that identity. So it's, I get to work out. I get to do this thing that is helping me to strengthen that identity. It's this idea of, this is just what I do, because this is what gym girls do. even if it's not what I normally do. It's not, oh, I'm going to try and get to the gym. It's like, no, I go to the gym because that's what I do. And then that action is going to confirm that. All right, so we've spent a long time on identity. It's something that I'm super passionate about. And I think that it really, like I said, it builds into everything that we do. But I want to move on and talk about how to build these strong, unshakable routines. And we have to start seeing things as non-negotiable. We have to start seeing our routines that we're building with the lens of 100% consistency. This has changed a lot for me, just even over the past month or so. And it's this realization that they have to come first, that everything else has to come second. If we really want to build routines, we have to do that 100% of the time, because you most likely put your seatbelt on even if there's someone in the car who thinks that it's stupid, even if there's someone who's going to laugh at you for doing that, even if there's someone who doesn't understand, even if you're running late, you most likely put your seatbelt on. Same with brushing your teeth in the morning. Whether you are going out of town for the weekend, whether you are going on a cruise, whether you are running late for an event, whether you got up late or you got up early, if you have a routine around brushing your teeth, then it is a non-negotiable in your life. And it doesn't mean that it's more important than other things in your life. It doesn't mean it's more important than your kids, but it means that you have a set and forget, that it is a non-negotiable. And so the other things are not going to interrupt it, whether you had a sleep, social events, rest, all of these other things. And so when you think about routine through that kind of lens as a non-negotiable, then we start to actually get creative about problem solving, how we're going to do that consistently. And this is not about time management. That's what is really, really important to understand. This is about priority. And this is about setting what are the things that I need to do consistently in order to get to this person that I want to be. And you get to decide what those are. I'm not saying that you should go to the gym every day. I'm not saying that you should even brush your teeth every day. I mean, there's a lot of evidence that shows that that's a good thing to do. But the real question is, where do those routines or lack thereof lead you? So you get to decide what your priority is, and then everything else gets fit around that. And the very real example of this, it's so phenomenal how much this has shifted for me in even the past couple of weeks. Because I was going to the gym consistently, I was going about 3 times a week, and I realized that I was very much half-assing my workouts, and I was just going and kind of going through the motions, and a lot of time it would be like a 20-minute workout or maybe a half an hour workout, and I wasn't really pushing myself, and it always felt like an interruption to my day. It was always like, oh, finally today is rest day. And I was only going 3 times a week. Finally today is rest day. I don't have to go to the gym. I can get so much more work done. Which is not actually accurate anyway. And then I realized that I had this epiphany. And I was like, you know what? I want to get strong. And I'm very motivated to be in the best shape of my life in terms of strength because of skateboarding. Because I passionately love it. I passionately want to be proficient and better and be improving year on year on year. I'm getting older and I want to protect my muscles as I age. So there's this very, very strong why for me. And I really want to be a strong, muscly person. And what I realized is that I was seeing my workouts as an interruption to my day, as opposed to something that was vitally important, a non-negotiable that I needed to set first, and that I would figure out ways to fit other things around, that I just really needed to shift my priority. And so my priority prior to that was get as much work done as I can. It was really, if I'm in the zone for work, I'm going to keep working. If I didn't get enough done, which was every day, then I'm not going to go to the gym, or I'm going to push that back till late at night because these other things are more important. So really what I was saying to myself was that the gym is an afterthought. Working out is an afterthought, and it's something that you can do if you get enough work done. And so I bottlenecked myself by that thought process. And the moment that I shifted and I realized, you know what, this is who I want to be, coming back to identity. The moment that I realized that, I needed to create 100% consistency around that habit, because that was a non-negotiable and that everything else had to fit into that. And I tell you what, since deciding that, it has been so much easier for me to build routine around going to the gym, because it is consistently at a consistent time, it is on consistent days, and no matter what else is going on, I'm going. Like, no matter what, it's like stop, drop, and roll, which is, I don't know if anyone else learned that in school or when you're a kid for dealing with fire. That's what we learned. I don't know if it's a Kiwi thing or... Anyway, that's a major, major tangent. So I reshifted my priorities. So ask yourself, what is your priority? Is movement and working out a priority for you? If you're not going to find time to do it. Like, this is the reality of it. If it's not a priority, it's not going to happen. Something else will come first. It is going to require immense amounts of sacrifice to shift your priorities. The great thing about that is that once you do, and once you make that decision, and once you start to build 100% consistency, that becomes easier so quickly, because you stop having to figure out and rearrange those things on a daily basis. You become a whole lot more robotic in your follow through, which is what we ultimately want to achieve, something that's not dependent on motivation or time or energy, that we just do it anyway. It allows that sequence to happen and us to build that mental and physical muscle, because we are doing it more consistently. Consistency is the most important part of building routine. And so when we're looking at our routines, we want to ask ourselves, how can we create that 100% consistency? And that's what I talked about in terms of allowing the trigger, or allowing the action, sorry, to be consistent, and then the trigger to be consistent. So what that looks like in terms of my routine is that, like I said, 2 p.m. rolls around on a Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and I go to the gym. And so everything else is scheduled around that. I don't have calls scheduled around that time. I don't have doctor's appointments scheduled around that time. Even if there's like all hell breaking loose in my personal life, I'm going to make that happen. And if for some reason something's going to happen that I can't be there on that day, then I'm going to find a way to either do that earlier, or do it the day before, or do it later at night. It's a non-negotiable. But what's creating that consistency is that there is a consistent trigger, Wednesday, 2 p.m. till 3 p.m. And there's a consistent ability to follow through on that. We also need to build our routines based around the current routines that we have. I like to think of routines as almost parasitic in nature, in that they don't exist in and of themselves. They need some kind of host or trigger to actually survive. And so therefore the host itself, or the trigger, has to be super strong. Otherwise the routine is not going to take. Here's a story of what that looks like. I did a podcast interview recently with Nikki, and that podcast is not out yet. I'm super excited for you to hear that. But she shared with me how she was struggling to consistently brush her teeth, because she had a routine where every couple of days she would go downstairs to, or something, I feel like I'm butchering this, but she would leave her normal area or her normal environment where her toothbrush was, and she would lie in bed with her son, or like help like the baby so that her husband could get a little bit more sleep. Essentially, there was a routine pattern interrupt. And so when she wasn't doing that, she could always brush her teeth consistently because the bathroom was right there, the toothbrush was right there. But then when she would go and be in a different environment, she wasn't following through on that. And she would, the crazy thing here is how much this bottlenecked other areas of her life, because the story she told herself was, well, if I can't even brush my teeth consistently, then how am I going to build these other habits? I'm sure we've all told ourselves those kind of things as well. The very simple and easy shift was her simply getting another toothbrush and putting it in that environment so that she could do that consistently, because she had built a routine around a current routine. She had built a toothbrushing routine around going to that bathroom, around a consistent trigger. There was already consistent routine there. There was already a host, if you will. But then when she left that environment, the host wasn't there. There wasn't any kind of consistency in terms of a trigger. And so she had to just create that. And once she did that, it allowed her to get consistent again and actually build a new routine around brushing her teeth consistently in that different environment. So we can't bottleneck our routines. We can't have something that then stops them, our ability to actually follow through on them, because we don't have them attached to anything that is consistent. And here's an example of that. If I decide that I want to set a routine where I want to skate at 7 a.m. every day, what happens if there's a wet day? What happens if the ground is wet? I've talked a little bit about this as well. Yeah, that's a consistent routine that I have in terms of that I get up every day, but I can't possibly skate every single day at 7 a.m. because there's too many circumstances where that is not going to be able to be followed through. So 7 a.m., just because it's 7 a.m., is not consistent enough a trigger for me to actually follow through and do that. And this is where we fail if we just set alarms for things. So setting alarms for things or setting reminders, those can be great ways to remind ourselves that we need to do something. But if you've got a phone reminder or an alarm that goes off for you to do a push-up, for example, you're not always going to be able to just drop down wherever you are in the supermarket and do a push-up. So there has to be some kind of routine already built that allows there to be space where you can actually follow through on that action. And this is the biggest issue that I have with this idea that we need to eat when we're hungry and that we have to be in touch with our hunger and fullness cues about when we start to eat. It doesn't allow us to create routines around food. It's totally dependent on how we feel on the moment. Hunger is super subjective. What happens if we're out somewhere and we get hungry and we don't have any food with us? It doesn't allow us to actually build any kind of routine. Whereas when we build routine around when we eat, that doesn't have to be like at a consistent time necessarily. It's helpful if it's around about the same time. But we can create consistency around that trigger so that we're able to follow through on and build that kind of parasitic response to that. If you have a habit that when you get up in the morning, you brush your teeth, you get the kids ready for school, and then you sit down and have the breakfast that you made the night before, then that's a very consistent routine that you're able to create because you already have that routine in place. If you want to start flossing your teeth, it makes sense to attach that to a routine that you already have of brushing your teeth. You're not going to try and floss at some random time in the middle of the day when an alarm goes off. That just doesn't make sense. You're not going to follow through and do it. Another word for this is habit stacking. It's about creating routines or creating patterns of behavior that are dependent on some other routine happening. If we come back to that skateboarding analogy, I can't necessarily get up at 7 a.m. every single day and skate because there's just too many circumstances that don't allow that to be a consistent trigger or a consistent follow through. But if I want to get better at doing an ollie, for example, then I can have a consistent trigger of every time that I'm on my trick board, I can practice that a couple of times because the trigger can stay consistent. I'm not trying to create anything new per se. I'm just attaching a behavior that I want to something that is already going to happen at some point. This could be as simple as adding in stretches to a workout. You're not committing to stretch at some random point, at some random time, but you're saying, you know what, I'm going to have consistency around doing this action when I finish my workout, no matter what, or when I start my workout, no matter what. And these can be some of the most effective things we do in terms of weight loss, because we can build habits around our existing routines around food. Some of the ones that have helped me the most is simply cooking without oil. So when I go to cook, which is a consistent trigger, I have a parasitic routine that I don't cook with oil, that I cook with water. So it wasn't very hard for me to stop this habit or to change this habit because there is a consistent trigger. And I do that 100% of the time. This is where it's really, really important. It's not some days I cook with oil and some days I don't. It's 100% consistent. I also add a ton of veggies whenever I'm cooking. I have this internal game where I'm like, well, how many veggies can I add to this meal? There's a consistent trigger and there's a consistent response there. And that's allowed me to get into a calorie deficit and lose 40 pounds simply by adding a ton of veggies to whatever I'm making. There is not a time when I'm not adding veggies to a meal. It's consistent. And that's a non-negotiable for me. The next thing that we want to do when thinking about building these unshakable routines is to use environments to make our routines slippery. I had a lot of fun with this and coming up with this idea of how to make things slippery. I've talked about this in other episodes where we want to slip into the behaviors. We want to grease the surface, so to speak, so that we cannot help but get to that behavior, that everything is set up to almost force behavior to change. That's really what we want to achieve. And I've come up with, this is kind of funny, a razor in terms of a routine. And a razor is really just how to make a decision if you're given two opportunities, how to know which one of them to pick. For example, most of us know Occam's razor, which is that the simplest solution is normally the one that is true. If you hear hoofbeats, you would normally assume the simplest solution is that that is a horse, not a unicorn, or not a zebra. So we have a way of making decisions to go, well, normally it's the simplest answer. There's many, many razors. I love razors because it allows us to know when we're making decisions, how to make decisions that are going to get us to where we want to be. There's a razor called the luck razor, and it says when choosing between two paths, choose the path that has the largest luck surface area, because most of what we call luck is actually just a result of hundreds and hundreds of tiny micro actions, which is the same as a routine. And so your daily habits are going to put you in a position where luck is more likely to strike. You don't get lucky if you're sitting at home watching TV. But it's easy to get lucky and increase that surface luck area if you're out engaging with people, learning, you're physically active, you're doing something that allows you to get around that luck surface. Basically, spend time doing things that increase your ability to be in a position where you could get lucky. The routine razor that I've come up with states this: when wanting to build a routine, choose environments that are the slipperiest. Because a routine is just a consistent action repeated thousands of times. So if that action is at the bottom of a hill, the environment is the path that gets you there. So it can be a slippery, soaked up water slide that gets you to that action. Or it could be a hard dig through difficult earth that you have to actually burrow upwards to get to that action. So the easier it is to slip into actions that you are trying to build, the more likely that you will build habits. So choose environments that allow that to be easy and for you to slip into those behaviors. I truly believe that this is the part where most people fail in building routines, is that they make them very, very difficult rather than making them slippery. They bring chocolate and chips and cookies into their house and then wonder why they can't say no to them. They hang around with people who don't understand what they're doing and they have no support systems and yet wonder why they can't stay consistent. You're digging through hard earth if you're not making it easy to build those routines. So how do we build that consistency? How do we make things super, super slippery in terms of habit building and routine building? Most of them we've talked about. Consistent triggers. We have to have consistent triggers. It cannot just be an alarm going off at 7 a.m. It has to be something where it is consistently going to remind you to do that thing that is attached to some kind of routine that you already have built, and then we're going to have consistent ability to follow through. To make super slippery routines, as you're building them, we have to make the first tiny step very, very, very small and very easy. A lot of people try to build consistency around routines where it is very difficult and it is going to require a ton of motivation. For you to go and work out consistently for an hour every day is going to be very difficult on some days. Like, there are going to be a lot of times where you're like, you know what, I'm just too tired. That feels too difficult, even if everything is set up perfectly. Whereas if you make that bar lower and you give yourself the ability to stay consistent by lowering the bar to, I just need to show up to the gym, then you are going to build trust and evidence with yourself. You're going to be able to maintain that 100% streak, which allows you to build that routine, which allows that to become autopilot, where you go, no matter what, I'm going to show up and do that. And then the goal is to layer that over time. You're really just building a habit, or you're building a routine where you can be 100% consistent. And then once that's built, you can start to layer on other things. You're just showing up at the gym. You don't have to do any workouts. You can literally get to the parking lot and then drive away. I mean, at some point, you're going to be doing a hard workout, but you have to be the kind of person who actually shows up consistently for that to be something that you do for the long term. A big part of this is having accountability and community. Accountability and community is what increases your slippery environment in order to build routine. This is one of the best ways that you can make your environment slippery, because it makes it more attractive to follow through on a habit if someone else is looking in, or a routine, if someone else is looking in and saying, great job, well done. It makes it very painful to not follow through on that if someone's going to be like, hey, Susie, why didn't you do that thing? If you have someone that you can work out with, if you have someone who is eating the same way as you, if you have community that is supporting you and encouraging you in those tough moments and celebrating your successes, then that becomes something that it feels light and easy and doable. If you are constantly having to fight through the battle of people that never understand you, that are pulling you down, of environments that are super difficult, of not having any encouragement, is it likely that that behavior is going to continue on, or is it just going to be too hard to do that? There's this phrase that we become like the five people that we spend time with. I 100% believe this. It's one of the big reasons that I'm very keen to move our family to America, because in the small town that I live in, it is not easy to get around people who are challenging us and allowing or showing an environment where the kind of behavior that I want to have is normal. And we have some wonderful friends here. We have some amazing community, and there are people that do that for me who I will miss dearly, and probably some of them are listening to the podcast, and if this is you, then you probably know who you are. But it's super important to create that community and create that environment, or have that environment. Little story on this: one of these people is someone that I spend a lot of time with, and her husband are very, very like wonderful friends of ours, and we have started going to the gym 2 days a week together, myself and this girl that I'm friends with. And all of these things that I've talked about, we've kind of set up to make this super, super slippery to stay consistent. There's a consistent trigger. So we go at 5:30 p.m. on a Tuesday and 7 p.m. on a Thursday. There's consistently C there because it works with her schedule. So all I need to know that. And now that I know that, I can just go. Like, I don't have to arrange with her. I don't have to say, hey, you're going to show up. We both just show up there at the same time. And then we go in and work out. And then I have the ability to follow through because my husband knows that that's consistent. We know not to schedule things on those days because those are the people that we spend the most time with. It just works for us to do that because we're not going to have some kind of conflicting thing where it's like, hey, you want to hang out, or you want to get to dinner? It's like, no, like, this is what's happening. We set it and forget it. There's a lot of identity based there for both of us. And because there's that community and that accountability, it's very easy to follow through on that behavior. Because I know she's going to be there, and she knows that I'm going to be there. And I can't actually get into her gym unless she's there. So she sure as heck should show up. And then I am definitely going to show up because I know that she's going to show up. So making that behavior super slippery means that I can actually follow through and do that consistently every single week. And then it must confirm identity. When we're thinking about creating an environment that's slippery, we have to have behaviors that actually confirm our identity rather than take away from it. A lot of this, like I talked about, is just a perspective shift. Rather than saying I have to do a diet, are you being a healthy person? How do you talk about that? Are you someone that's like, oh, you know what, I am a foodie and I love going to cafes and I love doing this, and this is just that I eat my bagels every morning and my donuts and I do this with my family? Or are you someone who has a different identity? Like, what is your identity around the behavior that you have? It was super fascinating talking to Keisha, who is currently the head coach inside of Lean with Plants. She's a phenomenal person, wonderful friend, wonderful human who has built so many habits that have allowed her to lose now 75 pounds inside of Lean with Plants and then go on to become a coach with us. And I stayed with her in LA a couple of months back, and there's a lot of amazing food places in LA. There's a lot of identity around going to these vegan places. And I was talking to her about it, and I was like, how do you deal with this? Because I have this idea that I want to be the kind of mum that takes my kids out and like goes and sits in a cafe. And there's this kind of like lovely idea around that for me, because it's not what I grew up with. And it feels like such a privilege to be able to give my kids the ability to do that, when like we never ate out as a family. And I'm super grateful for my upbringing. And there's just a contrast there in terms of what we do with our kids and what we have the ability to do with them. And I was talking to her about this, and she was like, yeah, like I totally feel that. And like, there's so many opportunities living in LA in terms of vegan food and experimenting and trying all this stuff. And I've had to build an identity that's not around that. Like, I've had to build an identity where it's not about and going and posting like, look at this vegan donut, and going and sampling new things, and that being part of my identity. And that was super inspiring for me, because I realized like how much of my identity is tied to my ability to try new things when I travel. So she'd had to make a conscious effort to create an alternative identity and have behaviors that strengthen that identity, like getting out and going for picnics, like meeting people at the beach or at a park rather than in cafes, bringing food with her, all these kind of things. And that then confirmed the identity that she was trying to build. And then over time, through routine, that becomes normal. If we want to make things really slippery, then we also have to make them satisfying, even if they're not enjoyable. This is the key difference here. Satisfying is something that we get finished and we're like, yep, that was good. Good job. Amazing. Like, you did it. It doesn't have to feel good in the moment. It's not hedonistic. It's rewarding. Something like a run. People talk about runner's high. I truly believe that runner's high is just the relief that you get when you stop running. I don't think it is anything more than that. But so often we punish ourselves because we don't feel like we're doing things good enough. And this is why it's super, super important that we make things tiny to begin with, so that we can actually win and make that a rewarding experience for ourselves, so that we have the ability to follow through and keep doing it. And a lot of reward comes from the ability to see progress. But progress is something that comes later on. It's something that we can see in retrospect. It's not something that we can truly see on a day-to-day basis. And that's again why we have to have other markers of success, like just getting out the door and doing it. And I was at the gym the other day with my husband. We've built this consistent routine. I'm super excited about it. It's amazing to have community with him. It's amazing to build this identity with him, where we go 3 times a week together, and then I go the other 2 days with my friend. And I picked up the weights. It was a Wednesday afternoon, and I had not had time to have a big lunch. Like, I think I had like a banana or a couple of snacks. It was 2 p.m. And I was like, Nick, I'm so not feeling it. I really needed to have eaten something. And like, I know that my strength is suffering right now. I did not say it that articulately. But he was like, Charles, you're winning because you're here. You don't have to have a good workout. You don't have to do that. Like, that's not what this is about. You're just here. You can do a couple of things. Like, he was like, you can just walk on the treadmill and you can still win. And it reminded me that really to win, it's not about 100% effort. It's just about showing up, and it's about doing that consistently. Because one bad workout, but me showing up, when I think about that in a 10-year period of being consistent, like, I can't, it's not going to matter. But if I didn't show up because I feel like I was having a bad day and it wasn't going to be good enough, that does affect my ability to build routine. So it's changing the rules of the game to make it much, much more rewarding. Now we're going to come to something that I think is super exciting and fun. And this is when we get road bumps in our routine, because we can make all of these amazing plans. We can have all of these routines that we want to follow through on. We can have these consistent triggers and consistent outcomes. We can make it rewarding and satisfying. But what happens when those change? We go on holiday, we go on a cruise, life happens, there is difficulty in the road and all of that kind of thing. Everything goes out the window. So or it can do. And we make all these excuses as to why we can't follow through. What do we do when crap hits the fan, essentially? And we can use road bumps to either accelerate or to slow down. And I was at the pump track the other day with my friend, the friend that we have and we love skating together. And the pump track is, it's this concrete track with a whole lot of hills. And so you roll into it on a skateboard or a scooter or a bike, whatever you want, on with wheels. And then you can use the downhills to generate speed, and then you go up the hills and you're pumping along, and there's corners that you can go around, and it's super super fun. With the pump track, if you do not really know how to use the bumps in the road, you will slow down. They will absorb your momentum and you will come to a stop. And I love the pump track now. I am definitely a ton better than when I first started. But when I first started, there was this one kind of round that I couldn't get through. And most of the time you get worried that you're going to go too fast. And then really the problem is that you go far too slow and you stop. And I would watch these guys go along on the pump track and they would be generating so much speed. And I was like, how do you do that? How do you build momentum? How do you continue going on? Like, it's not about how fast you enter it. It's your ability to go over these bumps. And so my friend and I we've been going to the pump track more, and we've been trying to get better at the pump track, and she's just like come like such a long way. And so now I'm at the point where I can get all the way around the pump track. I can use those bumps. I know how to use those bumps to generate more speed. And I was watching my friend a couple of days ago, and she was able to actually use those bumps for the first time, and rather than stopping, use them to actually gain some momentum. And it really, really got me thinking about what happens, or how that's just such an analogy for the setbacks and the roadblocks that we have. Because when our routines are tested, rather than that beginning an obstacle, that can be an acceleration. That can be an acceleration of our habits and our ability to follow through and our identity like nothing else. And that our routines, when they are tested, give us the ability to become fighters. They give us the ability to become the kind of people who can do uncomfortable things and follow through no matter what. And when I was writing this outline, the first thing that I thought of was that this allows us to become robotic, and it allows us to remove the emotion from it. And as I was researching this, I realized like I wanted to rewrite that, because it's not the purpose. The purpose is not to become robotic, where no matter what is happening, we can follow through and there's no emotion to it. Because there's been so many times where I've like, you know, I wish I was more robotic. I wish I could just like set and forget, and I wouldn't get distracted, and I'd be like, you know what, I'm going to have a super productive day today, and I'm going to start at this time, and no matter what happens, I'm going to stop at this time, and then I'm going to work on this important task. And then do I do it? Sometimes. Most of the time. Like, I really don't. And that's frustrated me for a long time. And I've always been like, you know, I wish I was a robot. I wish I could just like go and do that. But we're not. And we have emotions for a reason. And we have all of these things that are going to make it harder in some days. And so in those moments where we make a conscious decision to follow through on our routines, when it is so flipping hard, when we are tested, then we prove to ourselves that we are the fighter in our story. We are the hero of our story. It's not about being robotic. It's about building a sense of your own capability, and then using that momentum to really realize, you know, if I can follow through on this moment when things are this hard, even if it's just a little tiny bit, even if it's literally just showing up to the gym for 1 minute, or walking out the door if I'm a runner, walking my run when I said that I was going to do a fast-paced workout, going and half-assing a lifting session because I just was there to show up. When we do that, it changes the way that we think about ourselves. We become the fighter and the hero in our story. My daughter says to me all the time that she wants to go to war. I don't know why. I do not know where she's gotten that. She's 5 years old. I'm like, what do you want to do when you grow up? She's like, I want to go to war. I want to go back to World War One. I'm like, I don't know if you want to do that, my darling. And she, even the other day, she's like, I was like, why do you want to go to war? And she's like, to fight for my life, which I thought was cute and funny. But like, that's essentially what we're doing in these moments. We're going to war and we're fighting for our lives. We're fighting for our future selves. And so just like myself and my friend at the pump track, you can use those moments to accelerate who you are and who and your ability to follow through on routine, or you can use them as an excuse to slow down. That is a choice that you get to make. Getting out the door is going to be a huge effort when you're tired. And so when your routines are not dependent on your emotions or your desires and they happen regardless, something changes inside of you. I really felt this when I was doing the 5K a day running challenge. It's wild to me to even think back and be like, I ran every day, like 5Ks every single day for nearly 90 days. I got COVID at the end of it and I decided not to continue because I really didn't want to have long-term effects of that. And it's super wild because when I think about that level of consistency, doing something quite difficult, like every single day, I'm like, how did I do that? But man, I tell you what, by the time that there was a few times when I'd had like a full day away and then I got home at like 10 p.m. and I would literally get out my walking treadmill and I would run on my walking treadmill, that it changed so much in me because I was like, you know what, if I can do that, like I sure as heck can do it on an easy day. And then because I was in community as well, seeing the people that I was doing that challenge with, like one of the girls, she couldn't get any time away from her baby on a particular day. Her husband's working like shift work. She ran up and down her street like 40 or 50 times to get that run in, to get that 5K in. So when you see that, when you prove to yourself that you have the ability to follow through, it changes everything. That's where you really accelerate results. That's where you really accelerate progress, is when you're tested. And the thing is that we are doing this with some kind of routines. We're not stopping our routine of brushing our teeth when we travel. We're just in problem solving mode. We're thinking about, well, how can I make it work? You know, I'm going to bring my toothbrush with me. I'm going to figure out where I'm going to eat. I'm going to look up some restaurants. Like, we all do this. We're not going to just stop eating because we go to a different city. We look up where we want to eat. We ring. We make a reservation. We walk there. We get an Uber. We problem solve. It's not, am I going to eat? Nah, too hard. It's, I'm going to figure out how to make this work. And we can have that same level when it comes to the routines that we're building. They're just going to have to be slightly modified, but we can stay consistent with them if we set them up to be this slippery. And then you get a few bumps in the road and you are just away flying because you've proven to yourself that you can do that. So the end game of building these routines, what does this actually achieve for us when we do this? Number one is our identity changes. We have proof that we are becoming who we want to be, that we are today who we want to be, and that those results are inevitable over time. This gets easier and easier the more you do it because it is becoming who you are. It's not just, I'm someone that sometimes goes to the gym. It's, I'm a muscle mummy, and this is going to trigger some people for sure. But I'm going to get there every day because it's just who I am. And then no matter what happens, that is just something that you do. So identity changes, most importantly, is we get the result. No matter what, if we do that thing over and over, we cannot help but get the result. Do the thing so that it is unreasonable that over the long term, you would not get there. It is unreasonable that if you were to go to the gym, well, 3 times a week for the next 10 years and then work out and build a routine around that, it is unreasonable that if you want to do a pull-up right now that you would not be able to do that at some point. Or at least be 10 times, 100 times closer to where you are. And finally, we get freedom. Because when we build routines, it allows us to focus on other areas of our life. Because I very highly doubt you are using brain space right now to brush your teeth consistently. I very highly doubt that you are using a ton of effort and motivation and willpower to decide whether you're going to get up and go to work every day. It's something you probably just do, or feed your kids, or pay the bills, or anything else that you do. It allows you to move on to more important things. And this is the freedom that 100% consistency and building those routines allows us to do, because we don't have to think about will I or won't I, and we just do it. And so the more consistent we are, the more freedom that we get. Like, it's a crazy kind of trade-off, because we just get on with it. And ultimately, I think this is the most important part. And this is the biggest thing that has changed for me in losing these 40 pounds and being able to keep them off, is just having these consistent routines. And so that now I can focus on things that feel so much more important to me. And it's not that they're more important. Remember, we talked about priorities. It's not that the building a business or becoming a skateboarder or everything I want to do in terms of motherhood and all these things, it's not that they're more important than losing weight. Is that I get to put that in its place. That I had to build a routine around the food that I ate that allowed me to then move on to other areas of my life. It was a stepping stone. And I don't have to think about it anymore because I've conquered that. I've built routine. It's consistent no matter what. And then, yeah, there's little bumps in the road, but I get back on track. That is the purpose. That is why we are here. Is that ultimately we want to move on and do better things with our lives. So, recap of that, we're making habits slippery, we're making routines, we're looking for 100% consistency. In order to do that, we want to have consistent triggers, we have to have the consistent ability to follow through, we want to make the first step of the routine the goal that we have, we want to layer that once it gets more consistent. That could be as simple as walking out the door or getting to the gym. You don't even have to work out. We need to have accountability and community in some way. It's very hard to follow through on something when you're constantly being bombarded with that. And you're alone, right? We have to have things that confirm our identity, not take away from it. We have to make it satisfying even when it's not enjoyable. We've got to make that rewarding in some way. We can use obstacles as speed jumps. We can get sick air on those speed bumps rather than see them as setbacks. I hope that you found this episode enjoyable, helpful, useful in some way. And I'm going to see you next week for another one. Go crush it, my friend. You're doing amazing. I'm super proud of you. All right. Bye.